It's wonderful to be back here. I am Alan Hardin, and for many years, I was a member of this congregation. My wife and children attended with me. My kids went through Sunday school. My daughter was married here. I was sponsored when I decided to pursue ministry by this church. I was ordained in this church, and I am one of the very fortunate people in this world who have a Cindy Pardo stole to wear in my ministry. I now work at the Beverly Unitarian Church, just a few miles southwest of here, and there are many ties between our congregations. We have shared a number of ministers. Siobhan's grandfather was a minister at Beverly. Nan Hobart, Karen Mooney, and David Schwartz. And these are just the ones I know. If you walk into our church, which is a castle, you will see on the side a little plaque where the keys of the castle were given to Lynn O'Rear's parents. As I said, we are connected. I feel so connected to this church, and my new church is connected as well. This morning, I would like to thank those who served the ministry of this church in helping perform the worship. Monica Faith Stewart, who is serving as worship associate, Siobhan, I'm missing your name here. It's somewhere, Shadle, our pianist, and Elizabeth McCreelis, who did the Time for All Ages, and all other people who are ushering, running cameras, monitoring sound, and doing the things necessary for church to happen. But to get on with it, as a minister, I feel responsibility to be clear about my personal religious beliefs and open to describing them to any who might ask. And depending on my mood and on the audience, my theology is either extremely simple or extraordinarily complex. The short answer is that theology, as traditionally understood, is not a very good word for me. I am and have always been an atheist. I never found the idea of a God or gods useful, personally. My creation stories come from physics and from chemistry, biology, and our understanding of evolution. My sense of the afterlife is that I will cease to exist. Now, this might sound harsh, clipped, cut and dried. Atheist is a harsh word, and it causes many to react poorly. All it describes is a rejection of belief in something. Atheism is not a theology, a way of understanding and finding meaning in the world we live in. Where I do find meaning, deep and nuanced meaning, is hinted at in the last phrase I just spoke. The world we live in. Because this is what we know. It is what we have. We have ourselves, we have each other, and we have our world and the wider cosmos. And with our one and only precious lifetime, we must choose how we decide to live. I describe my personal religious views with the word humanism because I feel our purpose has to be making meaning out of our shared lived experience. In the absence of a powerful other guiding us, only our behavior and our choices are what is left to inform our pathways as we relate to life and the world around us. My first line of understanding is science, the laws of physics and chemistry and biology as we have come to understand them. Science and reason are the underpinnings of all religion I know, as these allow us to learn and grasp some of the information we need to comprehend what we are, where we are, and how we got here. I am awed and humbled by knowing that I am built of the same stuff as the stars, or of stuff that may once have been stars. But there is also much that is beyond science and reason. Maybe it is because our knowledge base is incomplete and always growing. Or maybe because so much of what we do understand involves chance and random events. Much that is in us and around us is held in mystery. We know a lot about the formation of our universe, but still are pretty clueless about what really happened at the moment of the Big Bang. We can describe the processes involved in evolution, but have no way to explain how I became me, and you became you, and a barnacle became a barnacle. It just happened and worked out that way, sort of. As we work to learn about that which we cannot yet explain, we get to hold a lot of mystery. And learning to hold this mystery is a big part of our formation as people. It seems that our first inclination is to find or invent explanations. The creation myths we heard earlier from Liz are a great example. I have no idea if the people who told them believed them, but these stories created a place to hold and store the mystery of where we came from, and an image we could use to replace what was unknown. As Elizabeth said, myths are stories that are true on the inside. In my mind, I feel that most traditional religious teachings fit in this same category. They are inventions that help explain big and important things. Where do we come from? Why are we here? What is good? What is bad? How should we live? What happens when we die? Etc. And while I don't accept the answers most religions provide, I do appreciate the questions. These are how we express the mysteries we hold. And though I rely on science and reason, I still think I find most of my answers intuitively through feeling and emotion. In trying to hold what I don't understand, I find a sense of wonder and awe at all of creation, that which surrounds me and includes me. In the immensity of all that is, I can only accept that I am still just me. This is simultaneously intimidating and empowering. These feelings I hold help me understand why people created God to fill a space we can't understand. My more complicated expressions of theology are based on the fact that I am not just me, but that I am part of a lot of us's, if us's is a word. And only we, whoever we are at the moment, have the power to organize our lives in ways that promote well-being and allow us to flourish. This is where I find meaning and purpose in life, and the need for religious inquiry, the need for community, and the active pursuit of human goodness. In order to survive, in order to flourish and thrive, we must continue to grow into a people of caring, a community of compassion, and a world seeking and holding love. Just as knowing the improbability of our existence as individuals and as sentient species should be call enough to make us want to succeed here and not to squander this rarest of opportunities we have. The Reverend David Breeden, a UU humanist leader who was also ordained in this church, writes, "For a humanist, holy doesn't have to do with particular places, words, or books, or even particular ideas. Holy is a place where and when the basics of human flourishing are realized. Among these basics are the inherent worth and dignity of every person, a world community that stops the battling between clans, tribes, and nations, and respect for the planet and its creatures," end quote. Most religions frame notions of God as infinite goodness and love. They might stray a bit in application, but God is love is a foundational idea. It drives the call to create human goodness and cooperation in the world by asking us to serve and emulate this big loving force. Without a supreme being, this all-powerful source of love and goodness can only emerge from us. Love thy neighbor as thyself isn't a good teaching because Jesus was claimed to have said it and because others said something much like it. It's a good teaching because that is the only way we can live with one another and support one another as we engage this world around us. While I don't accept that any outside force is our creator or oversees and guides our lives, I do still hold room for unseen ties or connections between us that emerge from our engagements with one another. And whether this is held as a spirit of life, or the connections of love and belonging, or as our chi, I can see that such are possible. But I also know that if such things do operate, they emanate only from us. This is a brief glimpse into my humanism. As I suggested, the part that is really important is figuring out how and why we should live. The atheism part was really just a process step for me on the way to getting here. It was a belief that alone did not fulfill my search. I feel that it's essential for us to pursue the important questions and feelings, to pursue them in community, using other persons as guides and mirrors for our thoughts. We learn in schools and from books and maybe on the internet, but what we learn there are mostly facts and ways of using them. We need and use this knowledge, but we desperately also need to create wisdom, to find and share the imperatives that lead us to choose goodness and love in our life pursuits. This church is our community of choice for this immensely important pursuit. And while the word church holds many connotations, a lot of which might prevent people from ever engaging with us, it is where we are now. Maybe we can successfully rebrand the word or invent a new one, but I do know that what we do here is religious at least in my lexicon, that it's important, that it's necessary. I adapted a humanist understanding for myself, and I need a place where I feel free to continue to work on my thinking and where I can experiment with how to turn it into good life choices and actions. I believe that I can do this best with other persons who hold a common orientation towards life, but not necessarily the same ideas and understandings as I do. The UU Church provides a space where I can feel safe, where I believe I am treated with respect, and where I can be challenged in my ideas, in my thinking. Unitarian Universalism is not a humanist religion, although many of us are and associate with that dimension of belief. Explicit secular humanist groups and similar bodies exist, but those don't really attract my interest. I feel the need for a depth of exposure to other people's thoughts and belief. They are what make mine live. I want to know what it is that each of you holds sacred in life and how that manifests in how you live. If you hold God images, I want you to describe them to me, to explain how you see them, how you engage them, and what they mean to you. If you have found that meditative practice brings insight and clarity, I want to know how it helps you. If you find the sacred in the natural world, or in the spirit world, or anywhere else, I am interested. There is so much I want to know, so much wisdom and insight I hope to grasp. There are many open moral issues where I seek clarity, like when should I show forgiveness? Or what are the limits to being welcoming? And though I speak for myself here, I assume I'm speaking for most of us. We may have first come to a UU congregation to find people who are like-minded and a setting that felt safe and comfortable. And I hope that both of these were true when you arrived here. But as we remain, we can only grow if we challenge and push ourselves, test our thoughts, and compare them to those of others. I believe everyone needs a place to address those traditional religious questions because they matter, because I believe that persons and families can only find their moral anchors in community with others. A lucky few engage in positive and engaging life experiences on their own, but I feel that most of us need community of purpose. We UUs aspire to sustain an open and welcoming faith tradition, embracing persons of many backgrounds and beliefs. Our history is rich with acceptance. We attract many persons to our communities because we are prepared to acknowledge their inherent worth when other groups might not, providing a place of shelter from persecution or disdain. When I was young, my Unitarian Church had more than a few interracial families because at that time, mixed couples were not welcome in most other churches. When divorce held a strong negative social stigma, UU churches are where many divorced persons turn to remarry and reboot their lives. And UU churches provided a religious home for many gay, lesbian, transgender, and gender fluid persons who were excoriated and excluded from the churches of their childhood. Our society has marginalized so many persons over time, But our fundamental UU values claim that no person is marginal, that each has inherent worth and dignity. And while we welcome all types of persons into our midst, this is not to say that all persons belong in our congregations. We are open to people with different religious beliefs, but we expect that those who engage in our communities will hold similar values about openness to the ideas of others and tolerance for those with different opinions. Thus, while our congregations include persons who ascribe to many religions, we are a poor place for the fundamentalist, and we eschew orthodoxy. We describe ourselves as seekers and encourage a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. James Luther Adams, perhaps the most respected UU theologian of the last century and once a member of this church, claimed that one precept of a liberal religious approach is understanding that revelation is continuous, that there is and always will be more to learn and to know about ourselves and our universe. To remain open to new ideas and to social change requires an open mind. Our free and responsible search should be seen as more than a right. Indeed, maybe it is an obligation for the considered life. Openness to differences is a fundamental piece of UU practice. And we can't just pick and choose whose differences we accept or tolerate. In one of my recent congregations, I felt that perhaps the most useful member was a man who was vehemently opposed to abortion and reproductive choice. This, of course, made him a minority of one. When I first arrived, he was considered a problem because he was prone to provoke others with incendiary remarks, things like killing the babies and other similar rhetoric. I sat down with him and asked him about his positions, and he described that his opposition to abortion was deep, personal, heartfelt, and rooted in love. He believed in the deepest places of his soul that the sanctity of the unborn life, as he saw it, outweighed the will and the needs of the pregnant mother. However much I disagreed, I had to accept that a good and moral person had taken a different stance on abortion. It was not knee-jerk politics or religious dogma, but his understanding of compassion that led to his position. So to keep our church life viable and civil, we needed to do two things. First, the congregation needed to hear his side of the story well enough to understand why he held what we all felt was a contrarian position. And he needed to quit baiting the ardent feminists and reproductive rights supporters with colorful and unfair rhetoric. And for the most part, this worked. He had been heard. He knew that he was in the minority and that he had to back off a bit to allow all of our group to function. He didn't have to give up his feelings or to be fully silent about them. He just had to learn to trust that those who had arrived at pro-choice positions had themselves come to conclusions based on love, compassion, and human goodwill. Agreement was not the end we needed. Mutual trust and respect was. What we are about should involve learning to hold real differences openly and with trust and respect. We do not all agree. In the UU world, there are many opinions about what is right and what is most important. There are disagreements about how we should worship, about how we should describe ourselves, and how we should act in the larger world. And these disagreements appear at all levels, in the National Unitarian Universalist Association, within the collective of ministers, in our seminaries, and in each of our congregations. But as Francis David said in the mid-1500s, we need not think alike to love alike. And I will add a corollary. We also need to play nice in order to get along. And this is a lesson we all need to learn and relearn. Everyone deserves a voice. Each of us should be heard and respected. But we all need to make room for the crucial ongoing work of being a religious order. This congregation is not immune from disagreements. It contains far too many thoughtful, free-thinking, and headstrong personalities. And I believe that a diversity of beliefs and differences of opinion should make you stronger, and it should make your engagements more meaningful. But this requires that you do the work of open sharing over these beliefs and opinions, exposing them as personal feelings and preferences, hearing fully what each other thinks, and coming to respect their positions as an element of the worth of the people that hold them. These might be difficult discussions, but they are important because we cannot grow without experiencing new ideas and feelings. Too often, UUs take our freedom as a license to hide safely without challenge. I love the example of my own parents, each a second generation Unitarian. When I was about 13, I asked both of them separately whether they believed in God, because it was something I was wrestling with at the time. Each gave me the same answer. Well, I don't think I do, but I believe that your father or mother might. Two UUs, married with kids, had never bothered to discuss belief. It felt like their heads were in the sand. And I found this to be sad, and over time, I did provoke a little more talk in my home. We need to share openly and honestly. Our church community needs transparency, and when we posture, when we engage stubbornly without two-way communication, we doom ourselves to life without safety and without mutual respect. This is not a debating society. It is a religious congregation where we should be working to develop bonds of trust, respect, and mutual dependence. And we have to be willing to relegate our own feelings to the sideline when they impede the spirit and progress of the larger community. And remember, the important things we want to learn are not so much what we believe, but how these things work for us in our lives and how they attach to our own understanding of meaning and purpose. I learned through exposure to many others that atheism is not a religion. I also learned that I benefit from and need religious type practices and expressions to help me discern my relation to the world around me, to help me focus my energy and concerns. Others have helped teach me this. You don't have to drink anyone's Kool-Aid to let them help you quench a thirst. I have become relatively comfortable using what is sometimes called a language of reverence to describe many of my feelings and behaviors. Though seeing how religious practices and notions work for others, I have learned to pray, to hold things sacred. I am open to unseen connections and forces operating among us and emerging from our shared feelings and aspirations. I remain an atheist and a skeptic towards most things I can't understand or see, but I have learned that I am better when I share these beliefs with you and when I hear yours. I have become far more comfortable with holding the mystery and with appreciating the incredibly good fortune we have to be the owners of a human lifetime. Each of us is an occasion of wonder and should be held in awe and revered. And for this, I am deeply thankful. Together, in shared purpose and mission, we can build, and we must build, the basis of human goodness and improvement. The challenges we face are astounding, and time runs short. But I have a deep faith, an abiding faith in us, in you. Namaste, Ashe, Amen, blessed be. When we try, when we reach towards the edges of what is safe and comfortable, we can seek those fleeting moments where hope intersects with possibility, where dreams maybe do become real. We must believe that we can build that place where we bind up the broken and work towards a time when our spirits become whole. For what binds us one to another is the essence of what it is to be human. For what binds us one to another is where we find meaning and value. For what binds us one to another is caring, compassion, and love. May we leave here today resolute in our own journeys. May we draw on our dreams and hopes as guides as we strive to become whole within ourselves, to become one with our communities, and to live in peace with all of creation. Go in peace, go with joy, and go in love.